Okay, we're going to start with opening statements from each of the candidates. You're given 2 minutes to do your opening statements. We'll start with Ms. Guile.
Thank you. I would like to thank BCC for hosting this event and all of you for being here tonight. I would also like to thank the voters of Ward 6 for electing me as the top vote getter in the preliminary election. For those of you that don't know me and are just now tuning in, my name is Dina Guile Lampiazzi, and I want to be your next Ward 6 counselor. I grew up in West Springfield, and I come from 3 generations of small business owners. My family owned and operated an auto body business, and that's where I learned about cars and also about the importance of work ethic and strong integrity. I later went on to receive my bachelor's degree from MCLA, and then I went on to Northeastern University, and that is where I received a master's degree in public administration and in public policy analysis. I moved to Pittsfield over a decade ago, and I chose this place as my home. Last year, I married a lifelong Pittsfield resident, and this is where we want to grow our family and set our roots. I'm running for Pittsfield City Council here in Ward 6 because, you know, when I first thought about running, I started knocking on doors to get signatures, and I heard the same thing in Ward 6 that I've heard throughout this community, that residents feel unheard, that their calls for help go unresponded to, and I don't think that's right. Residents deserve to feel heard. Residents deserve to know that their city councilor and that their local government is there for them. If you elect me as your Ward 6 counselor, I will show up for you. I will show up beyond the debates. I will show up in the ward as I have since announcing and since before. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Nichols.
Thank you, everyone, for coming tonight. And first, I'd like to thank the Pittsfield Gazette, Berkshire Community College, and Pittsfield Community Television for hosting this event. I'm running for City Council to ensure that Ward 6 has full-time representation. Having lived in Ward 6 for over 8 years, and as a former Ward 7 counselor, I know the importance of having your voice heard. You can be assured that I will be very responsive to you. I will answer your calls and help you resolve your issues on city matters. The issue that I hear most often from knocking on doors is crime. Drugs, violence, and break-ins are increasing in our neighborhoods. As your city councilor, I will advocate for our tax dollars to be spent wisely on reversing this trend. While we have other problems to address, crime is the most prevalent. I have lived in Pittsfield for 55 years. My family has been a part of the business community since 1914. I am the former owner of the Cove Bakery, where I came to know personally many of you. In contrast, my opponent has lived in our ward for barely a year and doesn't know the ward's history. As a Ward 6 resident, I am troubled by the fact that my opponent works for the District Attorney's Office and sits on the Pittsfield Licensing Board. If she is elected to the City Council, conflict of interest issues will arise and require her to abstain from voting. This will leave Ward 6 residents without a voice on important agenda issues. Please make the right decision on November 5th and elect a lifelong resident with proven service to the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nichols. Thank you, Ms. Guile.
May I respond to that attack?
At the end. At the end of our time, I'll have time for you to respond, okay?
Sure.
Okay, the question I want to pose to you is, do you feel that Pittsfield City Parks are underutilized? Mr. Nichols.
I do. It's actually made me very sad over the years to see the deterioration of many of our parks. As I was growing up, I remembered going to Springside Park many times. I learned to ice skate there. I played hockey for 11 years after that. I remember my mother training me to skate with figure skates. And it was very sad to see it grow in and not be used anymore. So I do feel that, you know, the The warming house there was replaced with a, you know, a less than adequate shelter there, and I just don't see people enjoying the parks as much as we used to. But the whole city has changed for sure, and that's definitely one thing that has changed about it. That's not a nice thing.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Wheel and Piazzi.
Thank you. You know, the idea that our parks are underutilized, I think that's reflective of, you know, we do have failing infrastructure, but also community is changing. The way we use our spaces is changing. We really need to take a hard look at what neighborhoods want. When we look to invest in a park, we need to be talking to the residents of those exact neighborhoods and ask them what they would like to use. What amenities do they wish to see in a park? That's how I think we should be spending our tax dollars for parks. I also think that there are considerable uses for these parks that we don't know about. You know, there are people that go and they take jogs or they throw the ball around. Those things kind of go unnoticed or undocumented, however you want to think about it. But at the end of the day, any community space that we have that reflects a neighborhood, that's a good community space. So I would almost say that it's reckless to say that they're underutilized, because those of us here today don't know what the parks mean to individual residents who rely on those spaces to entertain their children, to teach their kids how to ride bikes, to teach their kids how to throw a ball, all of these things, to sit on a bench and talk with a friend. The list goes on. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The Pittsfield school population stands at 5,416 students, according to City Hall statistics that I got today. A drop from more than 700 students in the last 7 years. How do you address that issue of dropping enrollment with the future of Conte and Crosby? Ms. Quayle.
You know, when we think about dropping enrollment, this has so much more to do with than just our education system. It has to do with our economic development. It has to do with whether or not we are attracting young families like my own to choose Pittsfield to reside in and to grow our family. We absolutely need to address this, but we need to think strategically also and make sure that we have a school system that fits our needs. If that means consolidating, then that's something that I would support looking into. But at the end of the day, we have a declining population, and there's no good reason to waste tax dollars on an investment that's not having a high return. We can consolidate, and we can focus on improving our schools.
Mr. Nichols.
Yes, I believe that many residents are looking to where are the services that we pay our taxes for? And unfortunately, part of the problem is that, you know, economically, we just are not a very strong city economically ever since GE left. I have proposed to a former mayor, Bianchi, a plan for growth for this city, and I think that that is an answer to many of our problems. I mean, people want to know why we don't have this service, why this service is lacking. It's because we need to grow as a city. So I am very pro-growth, and I have put forward plans that make sense. Actually, the plan that I did put forth to Mayor Bianchi was vetted by the Berkshire Planning Board, which came back with a favorable thing about expanding zoning on each side of North Street so that there's something marketable to show outside investors. We need to bring good paying jobs so that families can raise their kids here. It's very difficult in Pittsfield to find a living wage job for many people. So I think that growth is the answer to turning around the school population so that we can bring more families in that will utilize our school system when they find a job that's good, that has a living wage, and they can stay here.
Okay. Thank you. Along those lines, I was told by a city planner a couple of years ago that Pittsfield would have a very hard time developing in its economy because there isn't much to do for people between the ages of 25 and 45. What is your stance on that, Mr. Nichols?
Well, I think with proper steps towards growth, that you're going to find that those are some of the kinds of investments that investors are going to make once we have the population to support them. It's very difficult to run a business here in Pittsfield. I know I've been a businessman for many years. The population doesn't support the business, and when you have on top of that very difficult regulations that keep being put on small businesses, it's very difficult. So I think we need to work with our small businesses that are here. We need to open up zoning so that more investment can come in, and then a lot of these problems can be solved.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Guadalampia, what is your stance on that?
I happen to fall in this age group, so I'm ready to talk about it. People my age and a bit older, we love the natural resources that we have here in Pittsfield, but those are here for everybody to enjoy. I think that we can continue expanding how we use our recreational areas. You know, it'd be great to see a kayaking launch, in the west side at the Riverway Park. That would be exciting. But we also have a thriving restaurant scene here. We have incredible chefs that are trained to execute what they consider an art. We have a thriving arts and theater community. And these aren't things that are just for the wealthy or the well-connected. These are aspects of our community that are there for everybody. And I would like to see more members of our community taking part in them. But in addition to that, I think in the young people that I know that have left the area, I don't hear that it's because there isn't enough to do here. I hear that perhaps one spouse wasn't able to find a well-paying job while the other spouse did. We need to focus more on economic development because the rest will follow. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Traditionally, the lowest voting group nationwide and even locally has been the 18 to 24-year-old group. Even though the Constitution was amended back during the Vietnam War era to include the vote to apply to 18-year-olds. And the oldest voting group, or the voting group that votes the most, is the elderly people from 60 to whenever they stop living, I guess. Right? Really, and people wonder why the elderly or older folks get some tax breaks and other things and young folks don't. Mr. Guilampiati, what would you propose to get younger people more interested in the political system, not only nationally, but locally? If you look around the audience here today, I think my comments kind of ring true. There's only a couple of people here, probably under 25, in the audience. I don't want to get in trouble with you. Okay, what do you think all of us can do?
You know, that's something that... it makes me sad. It bothers me. I voted for the first time as soon as I turned 18 in that election. But that's not the case for everybody. And I think that how we change that is we have elected representatives that recognize that they are accountable to not only the voters, but to the residents that live in their area, and in this case, in Ward 6. And this is why I have vowed to improve communication in the ward. And what that means to me is by providing regular email updates and finding other creative ways to stay in touch with the ward. And when I say the ward, I don't mean the voters. I am trying to find everybody out there that wants to be involved. I also think it's important to have ward meetings. And how you increase voter engagement is by showing the residents that their voice matters, and that when they come to you with an issue on Eleanor Road because people are speeding too much, or on West Street, that you will be accountable to that, and you will show up for them, and you will help them to write a petition, whatever it is. They don't have to be voters. We can make them voters. We just have to show them that their voice matters. Thank you.
Good. Thank you very much. Mr. Nichols.
So I believe that the problem with youth not voting really starts in the home. I believe that, parents need to encourage their children, and I believe also that the schools can play a role in that. I really think that we need to find projects in the city that can inspire children to get involved so that they really have a reason to come out and vote. I think that it's been an ongoing problem in our city and probably nationally, the problem of apathy. It's horrendous, really, and I don't really understand it, but I think as far as children, I think that's where we can start to turn that around if we get them involved at a young age. And I really believe that that can be helped at the school level, the family level, and for our city to take on projects that will gain the interest of youth.
Okay, thank you. As an aside, every vote does count. I lost the city council race by one vote to Jim Broussard, former city councilor, Ward 2, who passed away this past week. Gentleman, a wonderful guy. We never argued. We never had bad words with each other. We saw government what it was, just the voice of the people. So I hope more people do get involved, because every vote does count, especially when you lose by one. let's see here. With the dropping school population, as we talked about a bit, do you think that Pittsfield should consolidate some of its schools into, you know, larger school populations, or what do you think the school department should do to handle that? After all, you vote on the school budget as a city councilor. What would be an idea? Mr. Nichols.
Well, I'm a fan of consolidation if it makes sense, if there's enough room in a school. I think that that's part of what we're facing, is that, well, for instance, we built a new Taconic, but it's really not adequate to house Pittsfield High as well. So I'm a fan of it, because we really do need to decrease the tax burden on our taxpayers, but I really think it needs to be looked at very hard, and what makes sense we should do. I really think it's time for that.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Lampiazzi?
You know, I'm open to the idea of consolidation. The, you know, Pittsfield High School, for example, the building is in disrepair, and you know, the students deserve better. The students over at Taconic, they have a beautiful institution to learn in, state of the art. And I want for all residents to have, all students in Pittsfield to have that opportunity. But we also need to be looking at our elementary schools and where we can possibly consolidate there. You know, I think that at the end of the day, we need to remember that we are accountable to the next generation, and we need to afford them the benefits of a strong education so that they can move forward to be productive citizens, and also to give back to this community and to choose Pittsfield when they graduate. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Ms. Lampiazzi, how important do you think open, even heated debate is at city council meetings by the councilors?
Is this in relation to petitions?
Well, the discussion
just
of the
general
topic.
Okay. That's why we're elected. That's why we elect people to represent us, is to bring forward ideas and to discuss them, to debate them. I believe strongly that those discussions and debates need to remain respectful and thoughtful. Where I do have concern is when debates go on in a way that is not productive to either the issue being discussed or to the morale of the city. What I do hope to see in the next council is, and in the future for Pittsfield, is a council that is truly collaborative and ready to work together. That after every meeting, nothing is held personal. And if you have a question throughout the week, or if you want to run something by somebody, you can do that, and that there's open dialogue. I think that that is how adults operate. In our day jobs, that's how we operate. And I think as an elected official, we should be held to that standard as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Nichols, what's your position on open, even heated debate at city council meetings?
Well, I don't really know if debates need to be heated. I'm not a big fan of heated debates. Passionate, maybe. What I think is that with a counselor, it's very important that, number one, you have to leave your political aspirations aside when debating. I think debate is just one part of three things that need to happen for a counselor to really be doing his job. One of those things is having your finger on the pulse of your constituents in your ward. What is it that they want? Then there's the debate, which brings out new ideas, and then the other third thing is the vote. I mean, you have to be able to build consensus among other ward councilors and among your constituents. I think that building consensus is probably one of the best qualities a counselor can have. So the heated debate part, I'm not for really heated debate where it gets nasty. I really think that respectful debate with passion, bringing facts into play, and bringing what your constituents want is probably one of the most important things to the debate.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's see. Mr. Nichols, do you think that the school districts in Berkshire County should be consolidated?
No, I'm not a fan of that. I believe in the pride of your city, the individuality. I believe in that competition is a good thing when we're dealing with different cities and towns competing against each other for children. So I'm really not a fan of consolidating, regionalizing Berkshire wide.
Ms. Lampiadi?
I'm interested in continuing the conversation. I'm not ready to say no. But what I do know is that I don't support consolidating into a single district. I think three districts, something like that, is far more feasible. And going all the way down to one is too much of a change for us right now. And I don't even know that that's appropriate. But I also want to make sure that if we were to move forward with something like that, that our students here in Pittsfield would not be adversely affected. I want to make sure that we continue having strong schools in Pittsfield and only strengthen them as we go. And I also want to make sure that the students themselves are not unfairly burdened, perhaps traveling from North Adams to Pittsfield. I think that can be a lot. I think back to a long time ago when I was a student, and you know, when you add sports and academics and everything else to the child's school day, and the it's tiring, and you want them to be refreshed for the following day. So we need to think wisely about what transportation would do to any consolidation plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Nichols, the city has a crime-fighting tool, if you will, called ShotSpotter. Do you know how much that costs the city, and what's your opinion of it?
I don't know exactly how much it costs the city. I do think it's a great thing. I think it's a great tool for the police to be able to respond quickly. I'm glad that we're using some new technology to help out, because as you know, crime is pretty much the number one problem we have in the city, and the foundation of it is poverty. So, you know, that's why we need to grow the city, so that we can get more money, so that we can get more advanced ways to fight crime and to turn the city around.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Lampiadi.
The ShotSpotter technology is a great gift that we have here in the city right now. Yes, tax dollars went into that investment, but when a crime happens in your neighborhood and you don't really know where that shot came from, and you're trying to call 911 and explain that, it can be scary. When I lived downtown, I experienced that personally within my living situation. And I think that the residents should feel confident that we have this technology so that law enforcement can respond to the exact spot within a timely manner. This is something that is going to help us continue to address crime. It can help us to watch patterns. And there's a whole host of things that we can do with that data. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, it's time for a two-minute wrap-up from each of you regarding your stance on various issues that maybe we haven't covered here or I didn't let you cover fully, as well as a final statement. And I'm going to give you about 2 minutes and roughly two and a half minutes for that, a little longer than usual, because I know that at least one of you is looking forward to doing that. So, Ms. Lampiadi, go to it.
Shouldn't he go first? He went.
Ms. Lampiadi, go to it.
I've shown up throughout this election, and for those of you that know me, I've shown up before. I'm an active member in this community. I serve on several boards and committees. And I do that because I believe in engagement. I believe in building our community up together. And that's really at the heart of why I'm running for city council. You know, and if you listen to my opponent, first of all, I would like to thank him for showing up tonight and for deciding to become part of this election process. We haven't seen him until after the preliminary election, and in that interview that he did, he was quoted as saying that he knew he didn't have to work very hard because he would come in first or second on name recognition. I don't think that's appropriate, and I don't think that the residents of Ward 6 deserve a candidate or a representative that doesn't believe in work ethic. You know, my opponent also made the assertion that my employment and my position on the licensing board create conflicts of interest. Well, I think it's very unfortunate that my opponent is running on a campaign of fear tactics and misinformation. And if that's not the case, then he just doesn't understand the role of the district attorney's office, nor does he understand that a member of the licensing board cannot sit on the city council. And I would be resigning anyway. So there will be no conflict of interest. And I urge my opponent to offer a scenario in which there would be a conflict of interest, because there wouldn't be. But on a more positive note, you know, if you elect me, I'm gonna continue to fight for you. I'm gonna continue to show up. And in the coming days, up until the election, I'm still going to knock doors. I'm going to be making phone calls. And I look forward to being your Ward 6 counselor. One other thing I would like to touch on is that my opponent continually goes back to the idea of GE, and that all of the havoc that GE closing wreaked on our community, and that we're never going to return from that. I disagree. We are going to return from that. But we need a counselor, and we need a government that believes that, and that will fight for initiatives that will move our city forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Nichols, you got about 2.5 minutes.
Okay, wow. Aye. So I've never said that we would never return from General Electric. I've never said that. I don't believe that wholeheartedly. That's why I'm running for council, to help the city come back from the crisis, really, that happened from GE leaving. I mean, the working population left, and a different population replaced those people. As far as me not having a work ethic, I think anybody who knows me, I am a workaholic. I work, and that's one reason why I couldn't spend much time on the primary, because I work very diligently and 7 days a week, pretty much. I'm a very hard worker. My accomplishments as a Ward 7 counselor, I was actually very effective at building consensus on important issues. I had Hancock Road. I put forth a petition to have Hancock Road resurfaced. It had been neglected for years. That passed unanimously. It went forward with improving the water delivery system on Hancock Road and repaving Highland Ave and Lakeway Drive. That was a very big accomplishment for my ward, over $1 million investment in my ward. As far as the conflict of interest, I'm glad to hear that you would be resigning from the licensing board, because that truly would bring a conflict of interest. So I'm very happy to hear that. I just want to say that I want to get back on the council, because I left the council because I met my lovely wife, Nancy, who's in the audience here tonight. And we purchased a home in Ward 6. And we've been there for 8 years now. And since I left the council, I wasn't ready to leave the council, but it was more important to me to find a lovely home that I could reside in with my new wife. And I've been trying to get back on the council ever since, and this is my best opportunity to do so. I will be a great counselor, positive, and one that will help this city grow and solve many of its problems. And I will thank you for that opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you very much, both of you.